Genesis chapter 11, starting from verse 1.
And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.
Okay, now here we see. The word of God says the whole earth was one language and one speech. I was thinking, when God used to come and talk to Adam in the Garden of Eden. So I believe that language is still the same language. God did not confuse their language. Because when we're going to see here, in the end of this chapter and the beginning of the chapter of 12, we see Adam had two children, first Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel, and then genealogy started from Seth. From Seth, then we came to Noah. And Noah, we learn Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, all these his children. And in this chapter also, we will be learning more Shem's genealogy. Because we see from Abraham comes Isaac and comes Jacob, and then comes Israel, and all their language will be the same. But the language was changed, the people who do not believe in God. And that's what the problem happened. Here we see what their idea was. The verse 4, let us build a city and a tower. Now they wanted to build a city and a tower, and only purpose was to make a name for themselves. And they wanted to reach this tower to God. Do you know that Lucifer had the idea? He started saying, I want to be above God. Pride came and he was defeated. This is the same idea. Last week we learned the Nimrod built the city. And the Nimrod was against God. And he said, you know, he didn't care about God. He did not obey God. But he started killing people, destroying people, and start telling people that there is no God. And the Babel is the beginning of the demonic religion. And all the false religion came from Babel. And here he says, when they're traveling, they came from the plain called land of Shinar. The land of Shinar is almost near the Iraq and Iran. And Iraq and Iran, they are the enemies of God from the beginning. And so we see these people, they were building the tower, and their idea was reaching God. There is no way the man can build the tower. Instead of stone, let's make a brick and burn them and use them, the light material, so we can faster build the tower, and that tower will reach to heaven. Do you think God was afraid that these people will come to me with the tower? Or anyone can ever reach building a tower to heaven. Today, people are reaching to moon and they are planning to go to Mars. God is not nervous. God is not scared. People can go from here to moon or anywhere. God is not scared. In book of Obadiah, he said, even though you reach to the star and you make a home there, I will pull you down. God has no problem, but these people, the word of God says, their language was one. And what God wanted from the beginning, God wanted his people to spread across. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 1, verse 28.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
Now this was the blessing given to Adam. He says, go all over the world and be a king. And this was the promise given to the Adam. After Adam, we just learned, God gave the same promise to Noah. Let's read Genesis chapter 9, verse 1.
And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth.
Now see, the same thing. He said, multiply and fill the earth. And this was the plan of God. Adam, he said the same thing. Noah, he said the same thing. And Noah, he promised, I will not destroy this earth by flood again. But this Nimrod had the idea, don't believe in God, believe in me, the flood might come, and so we have to protect our people and make a tower, make a city, and make a name for us, and let us reach to heaven. Now the word of God says, all people are one, and their language is one. When you say all people are one, what does it mean? They all have same mind and they have same kind of idea. And that is nothing bad. The word of God says we have to have unity and love and togetherness. But if you use the unity to destroy people, you remember the people, gangster, get together, and go and kill somebody or destroy somebody. They go on unity. But the word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says they will come like in unity, but I will scare them and they will run for their life. You remember when the people go in unity and they hear the siren, what happens? They don't say, let's hold hand and go. They just run for their life. So the unity is good for the God's work, but the demonic unity can be destruction. Now you know, in America and Britain, they had the Christian revival, and they went around the world, and they taught the language English. And there are in Africa and so many other countries, they have colonies, they speak English. And so the English language was spread around the world. And now the enemy is taking advantage of that. And in internet, there is only one language. English language is in internet. And so what the people are doing, if they want to gather all these young people to do some mischiefs, they just do send them messages or email or texting or something like that, and they gather together in thousands. Why is this happening? Because there is a one language. So one language is nothing wrong, but at the same time, the demonic unity can be destruction. And there are two reasons why God was concerned about these people. God wanted these people to spread around, and God wanted these people to do his will. But these people didn't understand, so the word of God says, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 11, and let's read verse 5 and 6.
And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded.
Now here is saying, the Lord came down to see the city. Do you think God has any problem looking from above? No. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, please read.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
So here is God saying, everything in his eyes naked means he can see everything. He can see behind the door and wall and underground or everywhere. There is no problem with God that he cannot see you. Some people say, oh, let's hide somewhere. Let's go in the underground or somewhere. Adam did the same thing. He said, let's hide. God will not see us, and let's put the, leaves. So God will be confused. And he said, Adam, where are you? He said, see, we fooled him. He doesn't know where we are. The man thinks they are smarter than God. But God says, I know you. Where are you going to run from me? No one can run from God. God knows everything. God knows your name. He knows your address. He knows everything. You can go to another city. You can change your name. And he knows about you. Everything. There is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open to his eyes. Then God says, let us go down. When God wanted to make the man, he said, let us make a man. So our God is Elohim, more than one. There is not a single religion will tell you detail about God. Only book, the Bible, tells you everything about God. But everything is not yet revealed to mankind. But once you receive the Holy Spirit, then God speaks to you, and so many hidden things can be revealed to mankind. And so here the word of God is saying, let us go down. Means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit decide to come down for mankind. Now here the word of God is saying, what God was trying to do, God wanted to change the language. He could have changed from there. But here the word of God says, God came down to see these people were going against God, and they do not want to hear God, and they did not want to do according to the will of God. Let's go down and scatter these people. Please go back to the Genesis chapter 11 and start reading from verse 6 again.
And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.
Now here is a good idea. God only has the best idea. He says, these people, they are one, their language is one, they decided to make this tower, and no one can stop. Why? Because there was a bad person, Nimrod, and he was a killer, he was a destroyer, and he wanted to destroy the people of God. Means, I can see Shed's family, as I said, this Abraham comes, and his family comes, and later on we are going to see next chapter, all of these people start doing idol worship. How they start doing it? By force. Today, this Muslim religion is all around the world. How it happened? The force by sword. And so the Nimrod maybe destroyed so many people who were worshiping God and told them to worship their idols and their gods. And so everybody were worshiping idols and their gods. God had the plan. See what happened? God said, let's go and change their language. Now God comes down, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are united in every decision they make. So here we see, God scattered these people like a family by family and unit by unit. And as I said earlier, I don't think God changed the language of Abraham or his father or his children. He changed the other languages. And when they change it and they start separated, and God said, when you read the verse 7, he says, I'm going to change their language, but they will not understand. But God did not say, what language I'm going to somebody else. Let's read the verse 8.
So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth.
Now, only he said, let's go and change the language. As soon as he said, language changed. He did not have to say, I give you Germany, I give you Spanish, I give you Hindi, I give you... No, this, it was in the mind of God. And as soon as he said, I'm going to scatter them with the language, he gave the language, and now he said, you go this way, you go this way, you go this way, and they scatter everywhere. But we believe the Shem's family, he did not tell them to go to India or go to Europe or go somewhere. They stick around at the same area. We will be learning that. So God changed the language and divided them to all around the world. As I said earlier, God's plan was man should be going around the world and occupying the land. If you remember, God said to his disciples, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit will come, you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. And so this was the plan. And so what happened? God sent the Holy Spirit according to he promised. And the people were not going anywhere, just like time of Babel. God said, spread around and go somewhere and preach the gospel. They were not going. And so what happened? Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and start reading from verse 1.
And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles.
See, when they were together one place, and here the word of God is saying, go abroad. Be my witness, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. But they don't want to go. So what happened? The persecution came, and the Saul start killing and destroying the children of God. And that's the time they were scared, and they went abroad. If they obey the word of God and start preaching, many Christians will not be dying. God gave them the Holy Spirit when they were one accord, one mind, and praying there almost 10 days. And the Holy Spirit came, and there were all different kinds of people came there to see, because first of all, they were speaking in tongue and making a lot of noise. So people say, what is this? Let us go and see. When they came, all different language people, God inspired them to talk to different people in different languages. And then the people say, wow, these people are Galilean. How can they understand our language, and how can they speak to us in different languages? God can change the language, and God can give one person many languages. There is nothing impossible with God. Our God is in charge of everything. So people, they have to learn, unity is given for the glory of God. If you use the unity for destruction, God has the plan. Your work will not work. They start building the tower. Here the language changes. He said, hey, bring me the brick. He brings the water. You said, bring me the water. He brings the tar. And they had so much problem, they could not build the tower, or they could not build the city. God is the one who controls everything. He can control your language. He can give you many languages. He can change your language. But our God is in charge of everything. And that's what we have to learn. Let's go back to the Genesis chapter 10, 11. And start reading from, let's read 8 and 9.
So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth.
Now they could not build the city, they scattered everywhere, and that's why he said the name, the place of the name is called Babel, means confused. And they could not build the city, and God had the solution to scatter them abroad.
I'll start from that. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Salah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Salah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Salah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Salah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there.
Okay, now here we see the Shem's genealogy. And as I said earlier, their language didn't change. But now they are coming, starting their journey from Ur, and Terah took his son, and he says daughter-in-law, but we will know Terah gave birth to Sarah and Abraham. And Sarah's mother was different, and so they got married. But here he says daughter-in-law Sarah. We will be learning that later. But here we see Terah got a little bit disturbed when they start journeying. His son died before him. Haran died. So I think they wanted to go to Canaan. And when they started their journey, their son died. I think Terah got little bit depressed. And then when they come to the place called Haran, and I was thinking his son's name was Haran, and now they coming to place called Haran, maybe, I don't know, all those days each and every person goes and build the city and they put their name. I don't know it was his name or his city or somebody got the similar name. But anyhow, once you know your son died or your daughter died, and you hear some other lady's name, just like your daughter, it reminds you your daughter or your son. So I think this Terah, when he came to this place called Haran and lived there, he got so depressed, more depressed, and the word of God says he died. Let's read the following words.
And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran.
And now here the chapter is ending. Terah died in Haran. But I was thinking in my mind. Now Terah comes from Ur. Terah and his family, supposed to be godly family because they are coming from Seth. But all of these people are idol worshippers. And somebody would say, why God have chosen the idol worshippers to serve him? But actually, they are not supposed to be idol worshippers. They are not supposed to mix with other people. They're supposed to be separated people. But they start doing this. So God has the plan to call Abraham from that family. And I was thinking, in the word of God, never God said to Abraham anytime, you are idol worshiper and I want you to change. Never I heard anywhere. But I start thinking in my heart, Terah start worshiping heathen God. His brother, his father, his other son, they start worshiping other God. Maybe Abraham did not want to worship other gods. And I have heard and some stories, maybe a man-made story, they said Terah used to make all these idols and he used to do business and his son used to come and destroy his idols and father would say, why did you destroy that? He says, if they have a life, they should save themselves and protect themselves and things like that. But the point I'm making, somebody got the idea that Abraham was not worshiping idols. Now you people might be thinking, how pastor got this idea that his family was worshiping the idols? Let's go and read book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1 to 3.
And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac.
See here, it says Abraham's father Terah was worshiping other gods, but he did not blame Abraham. And so, even though some people, they go astray, but if one person holding on to the truth, God will bless that family for the one soul. God blessed Abraham because he was faithful. I think he heard the story about Noah. He heard a story about Adam and all his generation, and he wanted to hold on to the truth. But why God did not call him Abraham when they were journeying in and they were going? God did not call him at that particular time. Why? Because his father was the leader of Abraham. And God could not tell Abraham that, I am calling you and I want you to disown your father and then I'll go to bless you. That will be not according to the word of God. So God waited and then he journeyed. The 12th chapter we will see God call Abraham. And so God was watching over Abraham. He wanted to call him for the blessings, and through Abraham he was going to bless the whole world. But God waited for the right timing. And when Terah died, then he calls him. Here, let's read the verse 31. Genesis chapter 11, verse 31.
And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there.
Now here it says, Terah took Abraham and he took Sarah. He says Sarah was his daughter-in-law and Abraham's wife. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 20, verse 10 to 12.
And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife.
See, here is saying, Abraham, this Sarah is my real sister. We have one father. Terah is the father, and she is my sister, but she has another mother. Means they have different milk, and in Muslim people still do that. Muslim people can marry the girl, even though their sister only has two different mothers, and they can marry, and they are still taking this tradition. And so, Abraham's wife was his own sister. One time, one lady and the man came, and they said, Pastor Peter, can I ask you a question? He said, what is it? He says, in Adam's family, they married their own sisters, and Abraham married his own sister. So can we marry our own sister or brother? I said, no. Why God allowed them to marry and why God is not allowing us to marry? This girl was actually living with her own brother like a husband and wife. And I asked them why this is happening. She, my brother left us and we didn't know where he was. And when he was maybe in his 20s or so, I met him somewhere and I fall in love with him. And when we got together and when we came home, my mother said, this is my son. And she said, I didn't know. I'm innocent, so I want to marry him. And so my family, they're against. And then she said, then I went to court to get married, and our family name is the same, and so they could not perform the marriage. Pastor Peter, could you do it for us? I said, ma'am, you have to know you are not living in the time of Abraham. We are living in 21st or 20th century. And here the law was given in the Word of God. You cannot marry your sister, and you cannot have two wives, and all these laws are given when the church was established. And some people said, oh, Abraham lied a couple of times, so we can lie. Now, what is the answer for that? Abraham lied, and so we should lie, and they lied, and they did not have any punishment, and why we lie and we go to hell? Simple. At that time, there was no law. Now, if there is a no traffic signal here, you can go anytime, come anytime, nobody will catch you. But if there is a traffic signal and you go on red line, the police will catch you and give you a ticket. Somebody said, but I used to go here every day. But sir, that time there was no traffic law. There was no traffic signal. But we changed it last week. That doesn't give you permission because you went here 5 years or 10 years and now there is a traffic signal, so you used to go, so you go. Doesn't work that way. That's what the Word of God is saying. Don't take the example of Abraham, that Abraham lied not once, twice, and so God blessed him, and why God is not blessing us when we lie, when there was no law that they should be not lying. That's what it is. And then somebody said, but the time of Moses, that prostitute, she lied, Rahab, why God blessed her? Because she was heathen, and they didn't have a law. So God could not judge her until she becomes Hebrew. So the point I'm making, don't take the old examples and try to put it in your life. Somebody says, oh, David went after another lady and got a child, so we can have something like that. Why God is punishing us? We have to live in the New Testament. Rules and regulations are, we go accordingly. We cannot just want to break the law. That's why you point out somebody else. Somebody says, you know what? I'm a Christian, but I'm a better Christian than others. How come? Other Christian person smokes, I don't smoke. Other Christian person, he kicks his wife, I don't do. I'm a better than him. And so how do you know you are a better than? Are you born again? No, I am not. If you are a born again child of God, then you will have the nature of God, you will have the power of God, you will have the Spirit of God, and you will live for Christ. You are not going to look at other person and compare yourself, you are better than him. We have to have the Spirit of God, and we live for Jesus Christ. And so we do not want to look at the other people, what they did in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ came and he gave the Holy Spirit, and now we know how to live holy and clean. Some people are, Christian people are smoking and drinking and gambling and doing everything, and when you look at them, they look worse than other religious people. When I was in India, I said to them, listen, don't look at them. Look at Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, once you receive Jesus Christ, your life will be changed. I said, when I receive Jesus Christ, I give up smoking, I give up drinking, I give up tea, I give up coffee, I give up everything which was hindrance in the ministry and word of God. I do not want to be slave to anything. I am slave of Jesus Christ. I don't want to live in this world and do everything what is not pleasing in the sight of God. All these people were trying to make a Babel. What they were doing? They were going against God. God did not destroy their language because they were not good. Only their motive was go against God and don't worship the living God. And that's why God changed their language. God willing, next Sunday, we are going to see how God calls Abraham. And God has a plan for you and for me. Many years, just like Abraham, his father do idol worship. And many people live in time of Nimrod. But one person was thinking about God. One person was thinking about the plan of God. And God had chosen Abraham. And so God can choose you as a leader in your family. Maybe other people doing everything wrong. But if God can use you, through you, your whole family can be transformed. Through you, your whole city can be transformed. Through you, your whole country can be transformed. Our God is a God of change. He can change. He can use you mightily for the glory of God. But we have to surrender our life in the hand of God. If Abraham said, no, Lord, my father does whatever he does, and why you kill my brother, and why you did this, and why you did that, then God will not be calling Abraham. I never heard from Abraham why my brother died before my father died. Why my father died? My father was a good man. He never asked the questions. Because when God calls you, God has a plan for your life. Only thing what you have to say, Lord, here I am. Use me and change me. I am available, and God will do the rest. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. Do thine miracles, O Lord. If there is someone among us tormented, somebody, devil is destroying their life, you can take control of them, touch them, heal them, deliver them, set them free. And Lord, I know that you are a miracle working God, and you never lost the case. You are going to bless your people and use your people mightily for the glory of God. And when they go out of here, they are going to be a living witness for Jesus Christ. We commit them into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And now, please be seated.